The Board of Supervisors passed a bill yesterday that could affect undocumented immigrants living in San Francisco. Under the new Due Process for All ordinance, local law enforcement will not be required to hold undocumented immigrants for federal authorities if they are otherwise due to be released. Up until now, authorities have been required to hold detainees for at least 48 hours under a federal program called Secure Communities. Supervisor John Avalos is against the federal policy because of how it plays out among immigrants.
There's a fear of getting caught up and swept up into the criminal justice system. There's a fear of actually contacting the police when there's a crime happening. And people are afraid that it's going to lead to, you know, someone being deported, perhaps a family member, perhaps they themselves being caught up in the system.
Avalos has been on the front lines of immigration reform to rid the city of that law. Again, yesterday, the Board of Supervisors voted to pass an ordinance that makes it illegal for local police to detain anyone based on immigration status alone. For the past month, we've been bringing you stories of immigrants living in the Bay Area. Today, a young woman from France shares her story about trying to stay in the city with a specialized work visa.
My name is Cynthia Garcia, and I live in Switzerland now. I came in the Bay Area in October 2009. It was my first time in the US, and I was moving with my boyfriend at the time. I was with a tourist visa, and he was with a day one, and I stayed for the 6 month period, which means that after 6 months, exactly 6 months, my visa was ending. I had to leave the country, and it was a perfect timing for me because I found an organization that was making for me an intern visa.
So you did that internship, and at the end of the internship, what happened?
So I had to go back to France, and at that time, with my organization, we talked about extending, having a new opportunity, job opportunity, it was hard to make this organization move quickly, so I came back to France and then returned to the United States as a tourist again. And it was not the H-1B, which is the work visa. It was a H-3 visa. We talked about it with my boss at the time. We hired a lawyer. We were very willing to work together. I really enjoyed working with them as an intern, so this was a great experience for me, extending it and having a trainee visa, the H-3.
You were saying that the lawyer said, oh, there was no problem at all, you can have it.
Yes.
And boom.
Boom. First round, we provided the what the USCIS asked for, some proof that this training was not available in my country. So, which was hard actually, because it's easy to prove what does exist, but on the contrary, what doesn't exist is hard to find. So it was a hard work for my colleagues, because we have to come up with ideas. We felt like we reached that that goal. It was really detailed, but they wanted more. So it took us another 3 months. And so we started, like I said, the process in April, and we finally were able to end this after the second round in, I guess, in September. And then they proceeded to a decision. It took 3 or 4 weeks, and they denied again. So at that time, I received an official paper that said, you have to leave the country. I'm destroyed. I don't know which word I should use, but I just cried. I couldn't believe that. I was traveling at that time, and I thought, well, this is impossible. Why? I put so much effort. My organization put so much effort making. At the end, it was probably 100 pages. 100 pages of research and proof that they were willing. I was willing. My lawyer was willing. So it was a lot of frustration, and also I was lost. Because it meant I have to leave the country immediately. I didn't know where to go back to France, find a job. I didn't have any money because I wasn't allowed to work. So it was a really bad situation. Yeah, I felt it was unfair. I was wondering, the agent who was working behind, who had my file and decided to stamp the denial. What did he do? What was his research? Like, if you write on the on Google the name of my nonprofit, you certainly can find so many information and good reputation and one of its kind, like I said, organization where I could have learned so much. So I wonder, why did he decide not to give it to me?